VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of VSiN Prime Time here on a Thursday night. Start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast is your first look at today's betting line, sharp action, and market movement. In just 15 minutes, you get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets Podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Again, the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast. Check it out wherever you get your podcast or get it on the VSiN Watch app. Will Hill, Matt Eumanns here. I'm at the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Vegas. Will Hill at his home in Connecticut. And Will, in the first hour tonight, we had the Hawaiian Hitman and Wolverine in studio. Power Slap 13 at Fountain Blue on Friday night. Derek Stevens is behind this Power Slap promotion. He's obviously close with Dana White. I thought it was pretty cool to have those guys in studio, and I was talking with them before and after the segment. Two good guys as well. Two of the most recognizable names in Power Slap are Wolverine and the Crazy Hawaiian. So we had the Hawaiian Hitman, his brother, in studio tonight. He's a big dog. He said he's a live dog on Friday night. The Hawaiian Hitman is plus 250. He's taking on the Russian legend. This is the Russian Power Slap version of Ivan Drago that he's got to take down on Friday night. And then you had Ron Bottle Wolverine, who's a big favorite. He's minus 270. After watching these two and talking with these two, you had a couple pretty good questions there. Are you tempted to bet these fights on Friday night, Power Slap 13?
Haven't finished my handicapping. Still got a lot of research to do, but I'm going to ask you a question. It's probably an impossible question to answer, but I'm just curious. If you had to guess, how many bets do you think that Circa will write on this fight here?
On the whole card?
Yeah, I guess on the whole card.
Is well, there's
like 1,000, 10,000, like what, 500? What's
there's 8 fights on the card. Okay. I'm gonna guess that Circa rides somewhere around 100 bets.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Have you bet this or no?
Huh? I have. I put a couple bets in the past. Okay. I have bet a couple fights in the past. Not sure what I'll do with this one on Friday if I'm gonna bet. I mean, it's tough not to bet on the Hawaiian Hitman. I like the guy. He was really cool. I know his brother. I know his mom. You know, they were in studio with us a few months ago. And you got to like the family, the fighting family out of Honolulu. But he's taking on the Russian legend, Will. And it's not going to be easy to take down Dumpling, who I believe is the Ivan Drago of Power Slap. So he's got his work cut out for him. That's why he's plus 250 in that fight. And again, Ron Bottle, the Wolverine, is minus 270. I would say, 8 fights on the card, somewhere around 100, maybe a little over 100 bets Circa might write on this. It's hard to say. I guess I could ask somebody here for an estimate. How's that guesstimate sound to you?
I wouldn't really know. So, I mean, that's about as reasonable as anything. And look, I'm not opposed to betting anything. If a winner's a winner, the money spends the same. So if I think there's value, whether it's my own handicapping or tailing someone I trust and respect, like you, if you give out something and you think it's good enough to bet, I'll probably tail you. But there is that human element of, man, if you lose, do you really want to, just the feeling of, what did I just lose money on? You never like that feeling as a bettor, but value is value. So if you see anything, I'll probably join you.
Like I said, the betting limits here at Circa, $500 today, $1,000 tomorrow on the fights. And I imagine it's going to be mostly smaller bets on Power Slap 13. Until bettors become a lot more familiar with how this sport works and I guess more familiar with the fighters. You had a good question about the technique and I like the fight day routine. You know, what do you eat? How do you prepare for the fight mentally when you go into something like this? And now I want to see the fights after talking with both of those guys tonight. It's going to be on YouTube on Friday night. It's going to be on TV here at the Circa Sportsbook. If you want to play it. All right, we have a baseball game in progress right now. Braves-Mets, and we are in the fourth inning, and it's scoreless, and the live number is Mets minus 115. So again, Will, we have a low scoring game in baseball where both pitchers are having their way.
Yes, we do. And Mets had second and third with one out. I believe Lindor struck out and the Mets did not get the run home. So it's still scoreless, but that is not the story. The story in this game, Griffin Canning throws a pitch and immediately falls to the ground in agony. He's screaming, he's banging the ground, almost like Tyrese Haliburton last Sunday. So he is out of the game. Not a doctor, not going to speculate, but it didn't look good, to say the least. Mets have lost some pitchers here recently. Canning was a feel-good story for a while early in the season. Hasn't pitched great lately, but he's been a solid rotation piece here for the Mets. But that looked like it could be bad here for Canning, was out of the game.
So you're not a doctor, but you did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But does it look to you like it was an Achilles injury, or what do you think? So 2 2/3 innings for Canning.
Yeah.
He had 3 strikeouts, so he was cruising. And you said, I didn't see it here. We got the game up on the corner, but I didn't see it. So you said Canning delivered a pitch and went down?
He threw a pitch, and then he went down just in, like, he went down. It looked bad. I guess Achilles would be the heavy favorite if we had to speculate.
Well, it hasn't moved the live number. Mets minus 115. The total is down to 5.5 in the game, and that's where we stand in Braves-Mets. Twins lead the Mariners 10-1, and that game's in the ninth. So the Twins had an offensive explosion. So we will have at least 2 games going over the total here on a Thursday, 2 out of 9. That's not much. We've had 4 shutouts in baseball today. So NBA, the big story tonight, I guess, will be NBA draft round 2. Will Hill, we've talked about the things we liked and didn't like, the pros and cons of round 1 of the NBA draft on Wednesday night. Now we look ahead to round 2, and we did that a little bit with Aaron Moore, the professor, in the previous hour. He's got a couple bets pending here. He's got former Auburn star John I. Broome over 42.5 on draft position. So the professor's got action tonight. He's also got Maxime Reynaud, the 7-footer, to go in the first couple picks here in the second round. Will, did you try to find any NBA draft bets you could play here on day 2?
I looked. Nothing was up, and that was about the extent of that. Nothing I had any real conviction on. Let me ask you, because you're sharp when it comes to college basketball and you have opinions on this stuff. Nat Human's the GM. Who's the one player that hasn't been drafted yet that should be picked, that's going to make a contribution, that is being overlooked? You have one guy that, if you were running the team, you say, all right, I got to get this guy. There's no way this guy should still be on the board.
Well, Ryan Kalkbrenner. I can't believe he hasn't been taken yet. I thought he was going to be a first-round pick. You're talking about 7'1 center from Creighton who's got a 7'6 wingspan. He shot 34.4% from 3 last season, 2.7 blocks. He's a rim protector. He can step out, knock down threes. He's a tough guy, too. I'm really surprised that he was not picked in the first round. Last night when the Clippers went with Jannik Kohnen-Niederhauser with the 30th pick of the first round, I said, okay, that's why the Clippers don't win when they get to the postseason. You're taking a guy who's more of a raw prospect instead of a player who can step right in and help you win games like Kalkbrenner could next season. Some of the picks in the first round of the draft last night just had me scratching my head. The Brooklyn Nets in particular, what were the Nets doing last night with 5 first-round picks? And the pick I liked the most was their 5th of the 5 first-round picks, Danny Wolf, the forward from Michigan. I kind of like the Celtics pick at number 28, Hugo Gonzalez from Spain. I love what the Suns did at number 29. He's obviously traded to Charlotte, but Liam McNeely from UConn. I think Liam McNeely's got huge upside. A guy spent 1 year at UConn, was bothered by ankle injuries. McNeely shot 32% from 3, but he's better than that. Obviously, he was, I thought, asked to do a lot in that UConn offense, partly because Alex Caravan didn't carry his weight last season. But McNeely, 14.5 points a game. He was leading scorer as a freshman for UConn, 5-star prospect coming out. He had 22 points in that game against Florida in the NCAA tournament when UConn probably should have won the game, lost to the Gators by 2. But McNeely had 22 in that game, and that's against the national champs. That's the guy, when a lot of people look back at this draft, they say, how did Liam McNeely go number 29? He should have gone in the teens last night. But again, I've said it many times, a lot of these NBA GMs are just inept, incompetent when it comes to knowing how to draft. Half of the guys picked in the first round last night are going to be bust or make very little impact on the league when you look back on this in 4 or 5 years. Now, Will, I have to give you credit. I don't know if you had the info or you got it from your buddy the Bear or as a combination, but you guys had Con Knepel from Duke under 5.5. You had him going in the top five. He went number 4 last night. You guys played that early. Your information was good. It was a winning bet. You didn't have to sweat it out. How about the Charlotte Hornets? I've not said this many times, but I really like what Charlotte did last night, getting Con Knepel and Liam McNeely in the first round.
I totally agree. I do too. I had the same takeaway where it feels weird to praise them, but that's a sneaky good draft. And we actually got Knepel under 6.5. That was one that just jumped off the page to me. It's like you listen and read to all the NBA content. You watch this kid play. He is universally 100% approval rating the way he plays, shooting ability. So, but no, I agree with you on Charlotte. I will say this, and I think you know this, and most people do, but it's worth repeating. Even if you like a team's draft, it usually is not going to translate year one. These rookies take some time. Very rarely do rookies contribute to winning immediately. It's more 2-3 years down the road.
Well, that's why I say guys like Ryan Kalkbrenner could step in and help a team win right away. And I think Con Knepel and actually Liam McNeely are going to do that for Charlotte as well. If you want to know where the money is really going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's a valuable tool for all handicappers. Get the betting splits at VSiN.com/subscribe, as little as $9.99 a month. We'll be back with the Canadian Kid to talk CFL. Stay tuned.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, this segment of VSiN Primetime is brought to you by Winner's Circle Proxy. If you need a contest proxy, you can trust the experienced team at Winner's Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. Find out more at winnerscircleproxy.com. Let's go back out to the Progressive guest line. We got a great lineup of guests on this Thursday night show. And we're going north of the border to the Canadian Kid, Ian Cameron, at Babano Bets. We're going to talk Canadian Football League. And Ian, great to have you on tonight. We got kickoff about 20 minutes away in Winnipeg, Edmonton Elks, Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I'm seeing the screen light up right now. The number is anywhere between 9 to 10, a total of around 51 to 51 and a half. How do you handicap tonight's CFL game?
Yeah, guys. So the Edmonton Elks are a team that every year we expect them to be better. We expect them to take a step forward. And every year it seems we're disappointed by it. And you look at their start this year, they're 0-2. They lose to BC first week of the year. They have a bye week, and then they play the Montreal Alouettes. And, again, there's problems with this defense. They don't have much of a pass rush. They have one sack in two games. And in a league where the quarterback is and a predominantly heavy passing league, you've got to be able to impact the quarterback and get some pressure and throw him off his spot. And they just haven't been able to do that. So this defense still has issues for Edmonton. They've given up a lot of points, a lot of big plays in the first two games. They give up the 38 points in the loss to Montreal last week. You know, I would think Winnipeg, even without their most outstanding player running back, Brady Oliveira, they're going to be able to move the football. Their offense has looked solid. Zach Collaro's still at quarterback. And Matthew Peterson, who's taken over the running back spot in Oliveira's absence, he's averaging over 5 yards per carry this season. So speaks to how well the Bombers O-line has opened things up for the run game. So I think they're probably going to be able to score points. I think Edmonton can as well. Trey Ford's a bit of an enigma. He's a very talented quarterback as far as athleticism, mobility is concerned. He can do some of those Patrick Mahomes, you know, ad lib type of plays when the pocket collapses, spin around, roll around, buy time, and then just fire downfield and make a play out of nothing. He's very good at that. But stationary, standing in the pocket, accuracy is still a concern for him. Turnovers and decision-making at times for Trey Ford can still be an issue as well. So he's still got to work at that. Winnipeg's defense has looked solid in the two games against BC. But BC's had O-line issues. BC had a backup quarterback in Jeremiah Masoli last week. I think Edmonton can do enough to score points. And if you're, even if they do fall behind, which they very well could, you know, they were kings of the garbage time touchdowns and points last week in the game against Montreal. So that could happen again. I like this game over. It's gone up from the 50 that I got. It's 50, I think, 1.5 now from what I've seen. I still think it's a high-scoring game, and I would look at points here.
It's 51 here at Circa, Edmonton-Winnipeg, just about 15 minutes away from kickoff. Elks and Blue Bombers, and Blue Bombers 9-point favorites here at Circa. It's actually 10 at the Westgate Superbook, 9.5 at DraftKings, total of 51.5 at DK. That's the first game of week 4 in the CFL. Ian, how's your start been here for the first 3 weeks in the Canadian Football League?
Solid start, profitable start, and it's good. Last week I was on, I think it was probably the best week I've had so far.
Yeah.
And last week ended up going well. I think we gave out the Alouettes team total on the show. We had Saskatchewan against Toronto. That was the only bad call we had was BC. So I think it was 2-1 on the show, and it's been a profitable start, so no complaints.
Last week, very strong, I know, because I followed you on a couple of those bets, and you did a great job last week. I also followed you on the Montreal Alouettes. I bet them on the futures to win the Grey Cup. I've told you a story before. About 15 years ago, I was in Montreal for a UNLV basketball tour, and I went out to Molson Stadium and watched the Alouettes practice one day. Montreal Alouettes off to a nice start here, and they're in Hamilton on Friday night. So it's Montreal-Hamilton Friday night football in the CFL. Alouettes only short favorites in this one, Ian. It's 2, and the total is 48.5 against your Ticats.
Yeah, my Ticats, who are pissing me off right now, but that's another story. Frustrated fan, frustrated season ticket holder right now of this team. 0-2, just another slow start for the Hamilton Ticats, which they've had. They haven't finished above 500 in the first month of the year in like 6 years. So this is just more of the same sluggish start to the year. Coming off a bye week, we'll see if that makes a difference. Keep in mind, when we were on Montreal last week, they were also playing an inferior team, also coming off a bye week, Edmonton, and it still didn't matter. Montreal was just the better team. They got the job done. I kind of feel that way about this game. I just think it's a very cheap price for Montreal. They're 3-0 on the season. Now, the one thing I don't like compared to last week is they won't have Davis Alexander at quarterback. And I think it's fair to say that through three games, if you were to give the most outstanding player of the CFL award out after three games, I think you could give it to Davis Alexander. That's how good he's been at quarterback for Montreal. He's been excellent with his mobility. He's been great throwing the ball. He's limited turnovers. And he got injured in that game against Edmonton, and he came out of the game in the second half. They were up big and as a precaution, but it's turned into an injury that's kept him out for another game here. Mm-hmm. So Montreal will turn to McLeod Bethel Thompson as quarterback here for the Alouettes. And that's why this line, which went up to as high as 3.5-4 for Montreal as road favorites, is back down to 1.5. This is a reaction to Davis Alexander missing this game. This is a bet where I hope the sum of the parts makes up for the absence of Davis Alexander, because outside of the quarterback spot, they are a loaded team on defense, very good special teams, very well prepared every week. And when you look at Hamilton, there's a lot of things you can quibble about. The O-line hasn't been great. Bo Levi Mitchell does have a good receiving core, but they've been out of sync. They haven't been able to run the ball. The defense, which gave up the most points in the CFL last year, does not look much better through two games in this 0-2 start for Hamilton. So if you're McLeod Bethel Thompson, you got a good defense, good special teams, you can run the football, you've got a stable of backs, just don't make the back-breaking mistake. Just don't turn the ball over, limit your mistakes, protect the football, and I think Montreal can still get out of Hamilton with a win on Friday night. So at this number, it's still Montreal for me, even with the fact that Davis Alexander will not suit up for the Alouettes.
All right, Will Hill's audio is going out here, I guess. So let's go ahead and move on with the Saturday game. BC and Saskatchewan, we got about 3.5 minutes here to go and a couple games to cover. Saskatchewan, a 4-point favorite, total of 51 or 51.5 again.
Yeah, this is the game that's frustrated me because I don't know what the accurate picture is going to be, who's going to start for each team. Let's start with BC. Nathan Rourke's their number one quarterback. He's their best quarterback by far. He didn't play last week. Jeremiah Masoli did, and Jeremiah Masoli kind of struggled. They lost to Winnipeg. And there was some thought that Nathan Rourke was going to be able to return here. He was getting practice reps this week, and then all of a sudden today he's not getting any practice reps, and it's starting to look like he's going to be out again. So if that's the case, Masoli will start for a second straight game for BC. Now on the other side, Saskatchewan, Trevor Harris, who's had a great start for Saskatchewan this year at quarterback in the 3-0 start, he got injured last week against Toronto. He hadn't practiced all week, and it sounded like 39-year-old quarterback, they're going to be careful with him, not put him in this week. And now all of a sudden he started at practice today. And Corey Mace, the head coach, didn't rule him out. So my initial thought was Harris would be out for Saskatchewan. Rourke might return for BC, and now we might get Harris, and we definitely may not get Rourke now. So it's kind of changed because I took BC plus 5.5. It's gone down to 2.5 now, anticipating that Rourke would return. And I think Harris still is going to be out. I'd be stunned. And a big part of why I like BC initially is because Jake Mayer would start for Saskatchewan if Harris doesn't play. And Jake Mayer was the worst starting quarterback in the CFL last year.
Right.
For Calgary. He was awful. He was an interception machine. I already saw him through an interception in the preseason. It was like PTSD all over again watching it. But, you know, you look at Jake Mayer. He was not very good last year. He would get the start for the Riders. I still think it's a good spot for BC. They're off a couple of bad losses. They're not bad losses, but bad games to Winnipeg. Masoli, got to hope he's a little bit better. A second start now with a game under his belt. I think the best way to bet BC, though, right now, you guys, is to take the team total over 22.5. Some books have 23.5. Saskatchewan, despite the 3-0 start, has given up 23 points or more in every game. So if it stays true to form, BC can hit that point plateau of 23 or more. So I like the Lions right now. The best way to bet it is, I think, the team total over 22.5.
Quarterback musical chairs in the CFL this week. Saskatchewan, a 4-point favorite right now at Circa. So even though it dipped down to 2.5, it's sitting at 4 right here. Again, you follow Ian Cameron at Bobano Bets and dubclub.win/Bobano. Last one here, and we don't have much time for this one. You were long-winded on the previous game, so you got to be short on this one. Toronto and Ottawa on Sunday, and Ottawa 2.5-point favorite, total 52.5.
Toronto's winless, Matt, but they're showing some signs. I don't trust Dustin Crum laying points. He won last week in bad weather. The Ottawa defense is still shaky, in my opinion. Ryan Dinwiddie ripped his team apart for their loss last week. I think Toronto catching a small number here. That's the side I'm looking at.
There he is, a Canadian kid, Ian Cameron, at Bobano Bets. And Ian, appreciate the time tonight. Good luck on CFL Week 4.
Thanks, guys. Always good to be with you. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
All right, we're going to welcome Will Hill back to the show after we take a quick break here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, Will Hill's back. He's going to have an update for you on the Braves-Mets game here in a moment. If you want to bet smarter this football season, VSiN Pro can help you start strong. The NFL betting guide comes out Tuesday, July 1st. You want to get it early? And early access means a better shot at spotting value in the futures markets before the lines move. And the lines are going to be moving on these NFL futures for sure. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. All the way through the Super Bowl for $175. That's every sport we cover every day at the special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it, and you're going to be first in line to get the NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and best bets. And we've got a bunch of best bets in this NFL betting guide. Get it first. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Go there now. Lock in the football special for just $175. vsin.com/subscribe. All right, Will Hill, Matt Eumanns here on VSin Primetime, and Will, the Mets strike first tonight. Give us an update from Citi Field.
Mets 1, Braves nothing. We're able to string together a couple of hits, and they do take a 1-0 lead. So they've had chances to score, had second and third, one out, couldn't get the job done. But they do strike first here. But the story so far is Griffin Canning not in the game, at least going forward. Threw a pitch, I think, in the third inning, hit the ground immediately. Not a good look. Mets have lost a couple pitchers recently here with Senga, with McGill. Not good here for Canning, who was a really a feel-good story early in the season. Hasn't been great as of late, but You know, you can only afford to lose so many pitchers if you're the Mets. I don't know where they go for arms. I know they got Montas back, maybe Manaea back at some point here, but another injury here for a Mets pitcher.
Yeah, I don't think we have an update on what happened with Griffin Canning, but it does not look good for the Mets starter after he went down. You speculated it might be a blown Achilles. Wow. That's been going around in the NBA. You don't see that too often in baseball. But you think that might be the case with Canning?
I mean, he hit the ground with a lot of intensity. He was in writhing pain. You know, the whole team is around him. He's grabbing his leg. So this isn't something where he tweaked an ankle. It looked pretty serious.
He was off to a good start tonight, too. 2 2/3 innings, yeah. 1 hit, no walks, struck out 3. Now Warren out of the bullpen for the Mets, who have a 1-0 lead. Holmes for the Braves, 4 innings. Obviously, 1 run. He struck out 4. He's been solid, too. Low-scoring games, the theme of the day in MLB. 9 games on the board, Will. And if this one stays under, that would be 7 of 9 under the total here on a getaway Thursday at MLB.
Yeah, and I haven't been watching this pitch by pitch to, you know, make an assessment. These are bad at-bats. They're swinging early in the count. I'm not sure. I will say here in the East Coast, here in the Northeast, it is nowhere near as warm as it's been all week. It's been 100 degrees Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Today, it's cooled off. It's like in the 60s or 70s. It's much cooler here today than it's been, which is going to affect how the ball travels, obviously.
Apparently, Griffin Canning, the Mets report, he's got a left ankle injury. He's going to undergo an MRI, so we'll see where it goes from there. Don't know if it's ankle, Achilles, whatever you hope. It's just like a badly sprained ankle, and he can come back okay from that. The Minnesota Twins have finished off Seattle 10-1. So, again, we've had 4 shutouts in baseball today. Tampa Bay 4-0 over the Royals in Kansas City. Tigers 8-0 over the A's in Detroit. Blue Jays 6-0 over the Guardians in Cleveland. And also the Cubs win 3-0 over the Cardinals in St. Louis. You got 3 shutouts. Dodgers also beat the Rockies 3-1. Mets lead 1-0 in the bottom of the 4th in New York. And how about the Astros taking down the Phillies 2-1 in Houston in a really low-scoring series? Again there, Will, talking about the theme of low-scoring games, 7 of 9, it looks like, headed under the total here on getaway day. How about that Phillies-Astros series? Was that bizarre or what? How the Astros could not get much offense going but managed to sweep the series from the Phillies.
Much to the ire, a friend of the show, Chris the Bear Felica, 5 runs in 3 games, good enough to win all 3. He has already crowned the Houston Astros the June champions here for the 2nd straight year.
Yep.
I'm sure that's heartfelt. I'm sure he's not trying to reverse jinx it. There was a lot of venting, if we can pull up that tweet again. A lot of venting, a lot of frustration, capped off by, you know, trying to give the kiss of death and just already, you know, part of it, I think, is a mental thing where he's just going to write it off as a loss. He's going to put it out there in the universe. So Bear can be very superstitious, as a lot of bettors are. But he was frustrated with the Phillies' lack of offense. How about Hunter Brown? He is about as good as anyone else. Skubal and Skeens. Hunter Brown has turned into a legitimate ace. I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago. I was watching a start, and he couldn't get out of the first inning. He had like maybe 9 or 10 runs. He got absolutely hammered, and I was just, you know, not sure. He's up and down. He's got good stuff, but we'll see what kind of pitcher he's become. He is an outstanding pitcher. Houston does a good job with these pitchers.
Yeah, the Phillies got swept in that series, and the Astros scored a total of 5 runs. The scores were 1-0, 2-0, and 2-1, and the Astros win all 3 games. Astros now 18 games over 500, and I keep wondering, well, I don't think the Phillies are as good as their record right now, and I've said before, Phillies are 47-34 after taking a loss today. They've lost 3 in a row, 5-5 in their last 10. I don't think the Braves are out of this thing. And this it looks far-fetched that they could come back and win the division because they're 5 games under 500 with 37-42 going into tonight, 9 games back in the division with the Mets and the Phillies who were tied tonight. The one thing about baseball, Will, you always have to remember, it's such a marathon. We got 3 full months to go after this week, right? 3 full months to go, and the Braves can get hot. And they could do it in July or August and September and make a big run here. I'm not going to say the Braves are going to win the division, but I still think they're live to be a playoff team. And when you're looking at these division races, I mentioned this on Tuesday morning on the VSiN by the Book show with Jensen Lewis and Super Dave Ross that I don't think the Yankees are going to win the American League East. I said it Tuesday morning. I think the Rays are going to win the division. Jensen Lewis tended to agree, but the Rays are a hot team right now. They've won 7 of the past 10, just had a great series in Kansas City. Will, I see a lot of signs for concern with this Yankees team, and I think the Rays are starting to get hot now. And by the way, the Rays now only a half game back of the Yankees.
You don't think Aaron Boone will rally the troops, chew his gum, give some words of inspiration, and figure out a way to get the Yankees out of this? You don't think so?
Not really. I don't. Last night when I saw the Giants bullpen implode, I said I feel like I'm watching the Yankees. I feel like Aaron Boone just went out to the mound, made a call to the bullpen, and the game blew up in his face. You see it so many times. The concerns I have with the Yankees, I think you're starting to see some cracks in the starting pitching. The bullpen hasn't been great lately, but the offense concerns me, Will, because it's hit and miss. And by the way, the Charlotte Hornets just made another pick that I love here. I'm going to have to declare the Charlotte Hornets winners in this draft. They just took Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton with the number 34 overall pick, 4-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year. Kalkbrenner goes to the Hornets. Will, along with who else?
Liam McNeely, Con Knipple.
Yep, that's it.
So anyone out there that had Charlotte Hornets over 2.5 Caucasian players drafted at plus odds, you can cash that ticket. Nice.
How about
bet.
That threesome? Con Knipple, yeah. Liam McNeely, and Ryan Kalkbrenner all going to the Charlotte Hornets, assuming there's no trade here. But that's your draft update. So we're 3 picks into the second round. But again, let me finish the thought on the Yankees. We'll get back to the NBA draft next segment. Will, the Yankees offense is a little bit hit and miss for me right now, and I think they rely a little bit too much on the sit back and wait for the 3-run homer. They don't generate runs. They don't generate action on the base paths and generate runs enough. And I was watching, and I felt like I was seeing the same thing in that series in Cincinnati this week when they dropped 2 of 3 to the Reds.
Yeah, and I don't think them being this team that's not a locked division winner, I don't think that's the surprise. I think the surprise was the first portion of the season when they're running and hiding, because you and I talked about them after they lost Soto coming into the season. We liked the team, but you and I never looked at this team as some locked runaway AL East winner. They looked to be a playoff team and maybe a division winner, but this was never some 95, 98 win juggernaut. This was a good team, a solid team, but they certainly had their flaws, and they do.
How about the starting pitching? Are you concerned about that, or do you think Max Fried, Carlos Rodon, and the rest are going to hold this thing together?
It's okay. It's good. It's not great. Yarbrough, sorry. It's okay. Schmidt, it's fine. I don't think it's a major issue. You can always use another pitcher. It's, what's the saying? The two things in life you can't have enough of: pitching and money. You can never have enough pitching too. But I think their pitching is generally okay.
Will Hill made a great bet, actually a great bet, got way ahead of the number on a young pitcher in baseball. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Also update the NBA draft. We're at pick number 35 early in the second round here. And Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton just went off the board at number 34 to the Charlotte Hornets. Love that pick for the Hornets. Quick break here on VSiN Primetime. Back in a few minutes, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting Network.
Got some big news here in the NBA draft to get to it here in a minute. If you're looking for a more exciting way to bet, it's called xcutta.com. That's spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. It's a future of futures wagering. It combines the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use, and it works for any sport. Over 1,000 teams, players, and golfers and drivers. Xcutta is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing, and it's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bet on, customize your own auction, set your winnings, and invite your friends to play. You can even create auctions for free. Xcutta has free auctions every day at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern time. Send an email to support@xcutta.com. Mention VSIN. They'll give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. Xcutta is a sports Calcutta. Again, that's xcutta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. TTA.com. NBA draft update, Will Hill. For much of the college basketball season, the question was, who's going to be the player of the year? Is it going to be Jonai Broome from Auburn, or is it going to be Cooper Flagg? It ended up being Cooper Flagg, but I'll tell you what, Jonai Broome was not far behind, and he is now a draft pick. This is going to be bad news for Aaron Moore, the professor, who bet Jonai Broome over 42.5. The Philadelphia 76ers just took Broome off the board at number 35. So the fifth pick of the second round, right after Ryan Kalkbrenner, is Jonai Broome. The first five picks here of the second round, I'll give you an update. Rashear Fleming, I believe, went to the Minnesota Timberwolves. The former St. Joe's forward went to the T-Wolves at number 31. After Fleming, it was Noah Penda, a forward from France, going to the Boston Celtics. France has had four players drafted, Penda being the fourth. A couple of these guys I'm skeptical about. I actually like Penda. I've watched some video on him. And again, it's a Brad Stevens draft pick, so I like it a little bit more. Noah Penda from France goes to the Celtics. Cyan James from Duke to the Charlotte Hornets at 33. Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton to the Hornets at 34. And Jonai Broome to the Sixers at number 35. And let's see, the team on the board here appears to be the Brooklyn Nets, who made five first-round picks and did not make a great impression in the first round on Wednesday night. How about that, Will Hill? When you see these college stars like Jonai Broome, who is that close to being the player of the year, go with the fifth pick of the second round, I think a lot of people find that a curiosity.
Yeah, it's more so when you first start following the sport that the biggest name in college isn't necessarily the biggest prospect. In the NFL and the NBA, they use the term tweener. I don't know. How do you feel? Do you feel Broome, like, do you think his game translates? Are you high on this pick? Or are you just, you know, you think college is going to be different here than the NBA? I don't mind it. I think, like, he's got some, winning player, a guy you want on your team. He's 35. I mean, I don't know who else was in the mix here. I don't want to, these guys on the countdown crew to pretending to know things I don't. I think it's a solid pick. Do you have an issue with the pick? You think it's a good pick?
I like the pick for the Sixers at 35 because, again, you're talking fifth pick of the second round. He's a winner. I think he's a versatile player. He's 6'9". He's got a good NBA body because he can play power forward, 6'9", 250. So that's one of the things last night. One of the players from France who was drafted who's going to be a power forward, or I think he's got to be a small forward. He's 195 pounds. Jonai Broome, 6'9", 250. He can step in, and he can be a rotation player for the Sixers next season. There are things he can do to help you win. I know why he slipped, Will, and why he slipped probably mostly is he shot 30% from three in his career. And 30% is not going to blow anyone away. He can improve as a three-point shooter, but a bit of a tweener. Not a great three-point shooting percentage, but he can do a lot of things to help you win. I think he's going to be a valuable rotation player for the Sixers. He can score, he can pass, he can rebound. And there are a lot of things he does well. So I think he was probably drafted about the right spot. Would not have surprised me if he slipped lower in the second round. It would have surprised me if he was a late first-round pick. So Jonai Broome from Auburn, the fifth pick of the second round here. And while I'm talking about that, we have another pick made. So getting a little bit faster with the picks here in this round. Adu Thero from Arkansas is picked by the Brooklyn Nets at number 36, and he was expected to go off the board here pretty early, so no surprise there. Maxime Reynaud, the 7-footer, still not off the board. A lot of people thought he would be the first pick of the second round tonight, but we have six picks made, and he has not been called. I got to think he's going to be called very soon. Maxime Reynaud from Stanford, 7-foot, 240. Very versatile player. Another guy I think could step in and play in a rotation to help a team win next season, but he's still on the board, and I think he's going to be off pretty soon. How about this one, Will? You live on the East Coast. You follow the Big East. Yeah. Eric Dixon of Villanova, a veteran player, led the nation in scoring, and really I thought improved his game tremendously the last 2 years. He's not probably not going to hear his name called till the middle or late second round tonight, and you think about that. That one's a bit odd to me because I think this guy can score. He can play, he can score in the NBA, but the nation's leading scorer, Eric Dixon, not going to be called early tonight.
I would think somebody would take a chance on him because you get to the point in the draft where teams just look for one trait that can translate. Hey, this guy can come off the bench and shoot, or this guy can rebound. Yeah. You're not going to get picks 50, 60. You're not going to get the 5-tool player. If they were that, they'd be off the board. You just look for one trait that's elite that can translate, and you just use him as a role player. So I would actually expect him to be picked here and to be, you know, not very shortly here, but at some point tonight being interviewed by Monica McNutt and on somebody's team.
Those interviews have been a disaster. You know, that's the coverage on ESPN has been getting destroyed by people on social media. ESPN and ABC, it gives Stephen A. Smith a rest. We don't need him on every ESPN show. He really doesn't have much knowledge of what he's talking about. And the reason he's on these shows is he shouts and he creates a big scene. Yeah. And the louder he talks, I guess he feels like he's getting his point across. He really doesn't have a point, a lot of things. Last night, by the way, Monica McNutt doing the interviews with the players. There was one player who was drafted, and she said, you were just drafted. What does that say about you? I mean, seriously, what kind of question is that? You got to give these sideline reporters, if you want to call them that, a little bit of coaching. That is an embarrassing question for somebody to ask. You just got drafted. What's that say about you? Well, you know, it says a pretty good basketball player. I'm glad to go in the first round. Some of those interviews and the coverage in general last night, why do you put Big Perk on these shows? Yeah. Kendrick Perkins, why is he an analyst on the NBA draft show? Where's Fran Fraschilla? Seriously, you got
totally agree.
Some of the smartest NBA analysts at ESPN, totally the basketball analysts in general, are like Fran Fraschilla, Tim Legler. These guys are nowhere to be found on the coverage last night. You got to put Big Perk on the show, Stephen A., Screaming A. Smith. ESPN's definitely dropped the ball on the NBA coverage in general, but especially the NBA Finals and the NBA Draft. We have another pick made here. Detroit Pistons take Chaz Lanier from Tennessee at number 37. I could see that. Chaz Lanier, 40% three-point shooter. The best three-point shooter by percentage in this draft still on the board, and that's Kobe Bray from Kentucky, a transfer from Dayton. I got to think at some point Kobe Bray is going to go off the board. There's so many teams that need a shooter. Chaz Lanier is a good shooter. Kobe Bray, I think, is going to be not too far behind him here in the draft. All right, Will Hill, we got 2 minutes left here. Let's catch up on what's happening in baseball. We got Ronald Acuna at the plate. Can you give us an update on the Braves-Mets game?
I cannot because I just switched over to the draft, but I can shortly give you an update. I know the Mets are playing the Braves.
It's 2-0. I'll give you the update. Mets now up 2-0. They got they got the Taylor sacrifice fly that scored Juan Soto in the fourth. And Polar Bear Pete Alonso singled and scored Francisco Lindor in the fifth. So Mets have a 2-0 lead right now. If you want to live bet this game, the Mets are all the way up to minus 880, so you're not going to lay that price. But you can take plus 505 with the Braves, who are down 2-0 right now. Or you could take the Braves plus 2.5 runs at minus 190. The total in the game, 4.5. Will Hill, do you do much live betting on baseball in the evenings?
Sometimes I do think it could be valuable. It's not like the NBA where you see these wild swings, right, obviously, because there's not as many runs. But I do have a small bet on the Mets that I gave out at the beginning of the show, so I'll just root that home. I'm not tempted to jump back in on the 2.5. What I have noticed here, every time I look up for the Braves, one out, nobody on, two outs, nobody on, they can't have more than a hit or two. They have not gotten much traffic on the bases, even with the Canning injury and a piecemeal staff for the Mets. The Mets pitching has done a good job tonight. Big game for the Mets, I think.
I talked about the great bet that Will Hill made on a pitcher, a rookie pitcher. We're going to talk about that in the next hour. That's a tease. You want to tune in for this because, Will, I watched his debut for the Cincinnati Reds. I kind of hint at it. Very impressive. Blowing away the Yankees in the first and second innings. And pretty impressive debut for the Reds right-hander, number 2 overall pick in last year's MLB draft. But we'll talk about that a little bit more on the other side. Quick break here on VSIN Primetime, the Sports Betting Network.